Well, good morning. It's so good to be back with y'all. I was gone last week, but I'm so glad to be joining together to worship our God. But before we do, we've got a couple announcements to get us started. And by a couple, we have a number of announcements. It's the fall, and that's how these things go. First, this week, most of our men's and women's studies start back this week. You can find out more information about that in the bulletin if there's a particular time or day that works best for you. You could probably find a study for that day. So be sure to check information about that. Contact the leaders if you'd like more information for that. We are about $5,000 away from the sanctuary refresh update. If you'd like to contribute to that, that would put us over, and we would get to a point where we could start the refresh. So that's pretty exciting news. Next Sunday evening is our Sunday evening of praise and food and fellowship. Please be sure to invite friends and neighbors. It's during our evening service, and then the food and fellowship is after. So that should be a delightful time to get together and praise our God and enjoy a meal together. You'll notice upcoming activities in September. There's a number of opportunities to invite folks in. One is the pickleball tournament on the 24th. The guy is heading that up wanted me to mention that the website is ropcpickle.com. That is the place for you to register. You can sign up as an individual or a couple. I'll repeat that again, ropcpickle.com. I was notified of an opportunity for men and women of Redeemer. The group that has been going into the Kent County Jail is now able to do that again. So if you would like to be a part of that ministry, they are looking for volunteers to help in leading services there in the jail. If you're interested, please be sure to reach out to Peter or Karen Faber. They would love to know that you would like to participate in that. So an announcement regarding, really a reminder about Sunday school. If you have children in kindergarten through fifth grade, whenever the service is over, please direct them over to this section over here. If you saw the video where the kids were singing, just this section over here. They'll meet with Laurel DeLang for some singing before class time, and the teachers will be leading the kids back to their classes. Parents, please pick up your children at 11:40. I'll be sure to ring the bell at 11:40 to remind you that class time is over. If you have a pre-K or a three-year-old, be sure to lead them down to their class at 11, and I'll ring a bell for that. As well as middle school and high school should walk down to their classes at 11 whenever they hear the bell for that. And our final announcement, Randy Baker is going to come up and talk to us about Bear Man.
So I had the opportunity this summer to hear the Bear Man presentation, an abbreviated version, and it was very, very good. And I really would like to encourage the men of the church to consider this. We don't have many opportunities where we can invite, first of all, have an event that's just men, and that's what this is going to be. A lot of times, ladies are a lot better with those kind of things than we are. And so this is a great opportunity. But what I would encourage is, first of all, invite your children and grandchildren, teenagers or above. It's pretty graphic, but it is very powerful in the end. And I think it's one of the things that I would highly consider. Also, on social media, if you could copy the page that we have on our website and spread it around, it's really, really an impactful thing. I think the devil always tries to get us to focus on the temporary instead of the eternal. And it's interesting how the Lord took a temporary event with a bear to make him focus on the eternal. So I would highly encourage you to invite others and to spread the word. There's going to be a Beast Feast starting at 6. This is on the 27th. It's a Tuesday evening. And you won't leave the same. So let's prepare our hearts for worship.
Mm-hmm. I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
This morning, the eternal, invisible, glorious God meets with us that we might glorify and enjoy him. And he invites us to draw near with these exhortations from Colossians 3. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let's stand and sing, Come Thou Almighty King. Let's draw near in prayer. Our triune God, Lord, we do desire to see the splendor of your majesty, to feel the weight of your glory, to enjoy the radiance of your beauty, and to adore you in your perfect presence. Lord, please give us a taste of what waits us for eternity this morning. May we sense your peace and your power as we praise and proclaim your great name, as we seek you in prayer, Lord, as we hear your word, Lord, may we respond with joy and thanksgiving. Lord, we ask these things through our matchless King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's come to Christ, recognizing our need with Jesus, strong and kind. Seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 119. We'll be looking at verses 9 through 17. Psalm 119 is a poetic masterpiece. It is the longest psalm and also the longest chapter in our Bible. But beyond even just its artistic qualities, is the way the psalmist exposes the immense value and importance of God's word. Consider with me now God's infallible guide for our lives. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. The psalmist invites us to consider our pathways, how they might be kept pure, that is, clean and righteous before God. His answer? By seeking, meditating upon, storing up, declaring, delighting in, keeping God's word. We can examine our lives and see places where maybe we've done this some, but we can also find places where this isn't true. We have not sought the Lord with our whole heart. We have wandered from his commandments, and so we aren't clean. As Solomon notes in the book of Proverbs, who can say, I have made my heart pure? I am clean from my sin. It's for this reason now we look to our God and confess to him our sin both privately and corporately. So let's go to our God now. Our holy and gracious God, Lord, we confess to you that we do not deserve for you to deal bountifully with us. We have not used the life and breath that you have given us to declare your awesome deeds and character in our whole lives. We have not delighted in your way and in your statutes. We have wandered from your commandments. We have not kept our way pure. Blessed Lord, teach us. Teach us that because of our sin, not one of us can be justified in your sight through our own works. Rather, point us to the goal, the purpose of your law, to look to the one who is perfectly pure, who is unstained by sin, and who is in heaven even now, interceding on our behalf. Help us to see the bountiful life and grace that you have provided in Jesus Christ through his atoning death and powerful resurrection. Lord, convince us this day of how much we have received in Jesus, that he is enough, that our new obedience might not be one of earning, but of celebrating his surpassing worth. Our God, strengthen us by your Spirit, that Christ might dwell in our hearts through faith, and that being rooted and grounded in love, we may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that we might be filled with all your fullness. Lord, we ask these things boldly, trusting in Christ alone. In his name we pray. Amen. Hear God's pardon. As you have by faith confessed your sin and trust that this assurance from God is for you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have received forgiveness and cleansing in Jesus. Let's now stand and sing with thankfulness, Lord, I need you.
Please join me in our prayer of thanksgiving. Our Heavenly Father, we come unto you this morning, and how good it is, Lord, to be in your house, worshiping and praising your holy name. Lord, we thank you for this time that we can refresh and revive our souls in you. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of your commandments, for the reading of your word. Lord, we thank you for the truth, for the guidance, for the wisdom that is found in the Bible, Lord. And yet, as we read your word this morning and hear your commandments, we can't help but see and think, Lord, of the times that we have fallen short, of our failures, of our sins that we have committed, Lord, the times that temptation has crept into our hearts and that we have given into this sin. Lord, we do ask for forgiveness, but yet, Lord, as we have just read in your word, we thank you that we do not have to wallow in our sin. We pray, Lord, that we would be, that we would ask faithfully for forgiveness that is found in you and in the gift of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your amazing love for us, for your precious blood that washes us clean from all of our sin, for salvation and for eternal life that is found in you and in you alone. Lord, we thank you for this church as well, and as we begin another season of so many activities, of Sunday school starting up again, of Bible studies, boys club, and GEMS, and youth group. Lord, all these activities, we pray that your name would be honored and glorified through this, and we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would work mightily through these activities and through these studies, that we would draw ourselves closer to you. And Lord, we also would like to take a time to reflect on what happened to our country 21 years ago today, Lord. We think of the lives that were lost in this awful tragedy, and we pray, Lord, that you would continue to be with those who are affected from this tragic incident, Lord. And yet through this, we continue to see your faithfulness and your goodness and your mercy to our country, and pray that you would continue your abundant grace upon our nation. And now, Lord, as we come to the preaching of your word, we ask that you would be with Pastor Jonathan, that you would fill him with your spirit, that he would once again preach and proclaim the gospel to us this morning, Lord. We pray that you would open our ears and our hearts, that we might receive this message, and that we would not only be hearers of the word, but doers as well. We pray as well, Lord, for a blessing on the offering that is about to be taken. Lord, you have abundantly blessed us with so much, and we pray that we would be cheerful givers and that this would be used to further your kingdom. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Well, if you would, please join your hearts with me as we come before the throne of grace and intercede for those that are on our prayer list. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you because you love us. We come to you because you have promised to help. We come to you because we are yours, bought with the blood of your one and only Son, Jesus Christ. And so we petition your throne, not just because we're needy, but because we want your name to be glorified in our lives. And so we want to bring to you this morning all of our Sunday school teachers who are beginning this Sunday school year. We pray for Christina, for Josie, for Amanda, for Lori, for Aaron, for Pastor Dan, Pastor Jeff, and for myself. Lord, give each one of us the help that we need to be strengthened and equipped by your Spirit to connect the word that we are trying to teach with our own hearts, and that by your grace you would enable us, by your Spirit, to connect your word with the hearts of the students in each class. Lord, only you can enable each student to come with a desire and an attitude to want to learn and to know you and your word. Lord, give openness to learning all that you're going to provide this year, and that you would build up your church through the teaching of your word. Father, I also come to you this morning asking for you to build up and comfort and strengthen those who are mourning. Lord, we pray for Dave Anderson and for the whole family as they mourn the loss of Sharon. Lord, we thank you for the time of celebration that we had yesterday of Sharon's hope and confidence in the gospel and the fact that she wanted nothing less than to make sure that even in her death, that gospel of life goes forward, knowing that that is all that matters. And we're grateful that that happened yesterday and that we could celebrate that hope and that promise, and that we can again this morning. But Lord, we also pray for those who are mourning the loss of their loved ones in 9/11. Lord, 21 years later, and yet that void is still there. We know that for most who have lost loved ones on that day, that they don't heal and overcome that loss. It is just learning to live without. And yet by your power and by your grace, you can fill that void with yourself. And we just pray that you would draw each of the hearts of these families and friends to you as the only and true lasting comfort. And we also pray for Ron and Mickey Kites. Lord, thank you that Mickey is making progress. We pray that she would not slip back into having other trouble in her recovery, but that she would just be able to get out of the hospital and make that full recovery. We pray for Ron, Lord, as he is going through a very difficult time with dementia and just dealing with all of these circumstances, Lord, that you would give comfort to his heart, that he would know that you are near him, and that you would give strength and wisdom to those in the family in where they live. Lord, we ask also for your help for my mom, Clarice Lorup, as she meets with the doctors this week to review the MRI and just reflect on what is going to be the best course of treatment, and that you would just let that plan be clear and helpful, and that you would just encourage her heart, Lord, as she walks with you through this fight with cancer and other ailments. Lord, we ask that you would also help Gail Stahl as she fights cancer and as she has a few scans within the next month or so, and again, determines with the oncologist what the best next steps are for her. Lord, that you would give her help and strength and healing. Lord, we also come to you with a heart of celebration as we get to celebrate with Don Faber and Linda Veering, because they will be wed this coming Friday. We're so grateful for the institution and covenant of marriage that they get to participate in. And we just pray, Lord, that you would set apart that day as such a wonderful and special day for them. And even more so, setting apart their marriage as a very special union, and that they would be able to witness to you of the love that you have for them. But we also pray for those that are expecting. We pray for Andy and Heather Platt, who are expecting their first child in their 40s. And as that is a number of potential issues. We just pray that there would be none for Heather, Lord, that you would help her to get through this pregnancy and this birth without any complications, and that they would just be able to rejoice in a healthy and happy little one, and just rejoice in your timing. We also pray for Chris and Lisa, for Tom and Cassandra, for Aaron and Alyssa, Adam and Lindsay, and for Brad and Jory, as they are also expecting in these coming months, next month, and all the way out to February, and just trust your guidance and help for each one of them as they prepare both their hearts and their home, and that you would provide healthy children as well for them. Lord, we pray for your work in our sister church, Harvest OPC. We thank you for our brothers and sisters that serve there and desire to fulfill your great commission in making known your gospel to their community, and that you would build them up in love and help them to overflow with that love into the lives of those in their community. We also pray for our Associate Justice, Elena Kagan. Lord, you are the only one that can work in her heart to understand the gravity of the responsibility that she bears before you as the ultimate authority. We know that in many of the things that she has said and done, they are in opposition to your ways, and you alone can change that. You alone can help her to serve in a way that is best for our country and most honoring to you. May you do that work in her life. We also pray for those serving in the military, for Derek, Chris, Zach, David, Eric, Ken, and Robert. We thank you for their willingness to lay down their lives for their country, and we ask that you would keep them safe and guide them in each of the roles that they play. And Lord, last, we just want to pray for our brother, Abdullah, a pastor in Asia who is seeking to minister to your people in multiple house churches that are now under threat from the governments for violation of their laws, and yet we know that you are the ultimate authority, that there is all authority in heaven and earth given to you, and that there is no authority in this earth that can stand against your gospel. Help Pastor Abdullah to know that in his heart of hearts and to stand for you regardless of the consequence. Lord, may your mercy be upon him and your grace, we pray. And guide us now as we enter into a time of studying your word, Lord, that you would guide us by the power of your Spirit to enter into truth in a way that is close to our hearts, in a way that ministers to us each in a personal way, so that you are built up and that Christ reigns in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, please open God's word, if you would, to the Gospel of John. We are beginning a new sermon series through the Gospel of John. And, you know, I think we realize that every page of Scripture points us to Jesus, but it's so wonderful when we can see him explicitly taught about who he is and what he has done when we get to walk through a gospel together. So we're very excited about this opportunity to go through John with you. Now, the Gospel of John emphasizes the divinity of Jesus and God's love coming to us through him. And so I pray that we learn this morning that the Lord Jesus brought the light of his love by adopting sinners as children of God. The Lord Jesus brought the light of his love by adopting sinners as children of God. Now, the gospel is about Jesus, and so John introduces us to this Jesus. And we're going to learn that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is life, and Jesus is love. Please follow as I read John chapter 1, verses 1 to 13. This is the word of our God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. Well, please pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, as we've said, today is the 21st anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. If you were more than 5 or 6 years old on that day, then you probably remember exactly where you were when you first heard the news. We were glued to our television sets probably for the rest of the day wondering what's going to happen next, right? Then the Pentagon gets hit. What's going to happen next? How are we going to defend ourselves? Who did this? We just wanted to know. We just wanted hope. Now, the people of Israel wanted hope as well. They had not only been attacked, but they had actually been taken over by Roman oppression. Their lives and their children's lives were changed from anything they had ever known personally. Now, the Lord had promised a Savior, a Messiah, the son of King David, to come and to bring salvation to his people. And yet, the oppression continued. Many despaired. Many took matters into their own hands with insurrection after insurrection. Others submitted to Roman rule and just tried to make the best of it. They were dark times for God's people. And into that darkness, John wrote his gospel with one of the most sublime introductions in all of the Bible. He draws upon some of the most powerful images in all of Scripture to introduce us to this Savior. Now, we cannot plumb the depths of all that John has said in our brief time together, but with boldness, he begins his gospel to declare from the very outset that Jesus is Lord. Look at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now, obviously, John mirrors the very first words of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1. And so our minds are transported back to the time of creation. We know that in Genesis 1:3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God spoke the universe into existence, ex nihilo. Theologians say that in Latin, meaning out of nothing. Now, we are made in God's image, yes, and we do create things as well, but no human being can create ex nihilo. That power is a divine attribute of God alone. Now, as a sculptor in college, I like to work in a lot of different materials. I learned to arc weld when I was in high school, and so I did a lot of different metal sculpture when I was in college. But what would it have been like if I came to my class with no project at all, and when it came time for my critique, I just spoke my project into existence? Yes, that would be very cool. A lot less work, right? I just speak it. That would be wonderful to have such power. But that kind of thing is like for wizards. You know, it's not something that's real to us. It is only something that God can do. God alone can speak creation. But just consider what John is saying. Jesus is the creative Word. Verse 3 says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is God's instrument of creation. I mean, after all, Jesus, as the Son of God, was indeed with God. Right? Creation was the best father-son project that's ever been accomplished. Right? They delighted in each other as they labored in creation week. Now, we know that the Spirit also hovered over the waters. This was a triune God functioning in creation, each one doing their part. Now, we can't wrap our brains around that. And when we try to think about what that must have been like and, you know, having them, you know, brainstorming and planning how to make the universe. And you know what we just did when we think that? We're just thinking the way that we think. They didn't have to brainstorm. They didn't have to come up with ideas. They had perfect knowledge, perfect communication, perfect power to execute flawlessly every molecule of creation. Now, that is an effective team. Wouldn't you like that at work, right? If your team was that effective, right? I mean, they rocked it. But as we think about why that was possible, it's because Jesus was not just God's instrument of creation. He was not just the Son of God. Jesus, as the Word, John tells us, was God. Now, each time the word was is used in this context, it's used in the imperfect tense. And so the Word was continuing to be. He was continuing with God. He was continually God. Now, Israel was very aware that the Lord their God, the one that brought them out of Egypt, was also the Creator God. After all, when he gave the Ten Commandments to Israel, he said in the fourth commandment in Exodus 20, verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Now, when you see the word Lord in all capitals, we know that's a reference to the name of God, Yahweh. So by John revealing that Jesus is the Word, that Jesus was with God, that Jesus was God, he is declaring in the very first sentences of his gospel, Jesus is Lord. So how are we to respond to such a bold claim? Well, you probably already accept that about Jesus. But let's just try to bring our minds back to the first century, to the original readers who received John's gospel when the ink had just dried. Now, we know that John wrote this later than the other gospels, but I want you to think about the fact that maybe you were someone who had heard about Jesus, maybe you already trusted him as your Savior, but John is trying to bring together a more developed theology for the church. And so maybe you're a Jew living in Asia Minor at one of the churches that Paul had planted, and you finally get a copy of John's gospel. And you see how he is introducing Jesus, connecting it with Genesis 1. And you had learned that Jesus is the Messiah and you trust him as Lord and Savior, but then all of these gaps start getting filled together in your theology with all that Jesus is and who he is as the Word, the creative power of God himself in the flesh. He wants you to see before anything else that Jesus is Lord. Now, we love to hear about the compassion of Jesus. We love to hear about the patience and the grace of Jesus. But we will do best to appreciate all of those attributes when we begin where Scripture tells us to begin. Proverbs says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. And so we all want to grow in our knowledge of the Holy One and the way he's revealed in the Gospel of John. But to do that, we have to recognize how God showed up in human flesh. Jesus is Lord. And so we see that he is not only the Lord of creation, but second, Jesus is life. Look at verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now again, continuing with the creation theme, not only did God speak the universe into existence, he gave his life, his creation, life. Right? He didn't just make oceans and rivers and mountains, he filled the sky with birds. And he filled the land with animals and plants. He gave it life. But the crown of his creation was his creation of man, made in the very image of God. His beauty, his powerful creative abilities came together in the person of Jesus Christ, who became man. Now, his life is the light of men. Yes, in the beginning, God separated the light from the darkness. Darkness can only be defined as the absence of light. But here, John gives darkness a spiritual quality. It's true that physical darkness cannot overtake light, but the Apostle John connects this theme in creation, Genesis 1, with John 1, showing us that light and darkness of creation, when Jesus comes, wants us to see that evil cannot overcome good, that Satan cannot overcome God. But then he links the prophetic ministry of John the Baptist with the coming of that light into the darkness. And so he says in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Now, the prophecy of John the Baptist is given to us in Isaiah chapter 40, right? Hundreds of years before he was a twinkle in his father's eye, right? A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, what greater authentication does John need, right, except this prophetic fulfillment from hundreds of years before? Now, the Lord is the only one that knows the end from the beginning, the only one that can reveal hundreds of prophecies thousands of years before their fulfillment as a way of preparing God's people to receive his son, Jesus. John the Baptist was the last Old Testament prophet, though he appeared in the New Testament. He's like, hey, all this stuff that God has said to us before, boom, here he is, right? That's John's job, pointing people to Jesus. But what was the saddest part about John's ministry? The Jewish leaders, the one who knew the word, rejected him. He was confrontational, yes. He called them out for the sin patterns in their lives, yes. John's ministry was a ministry of repentance. The sign of that repentance was baptism. Now, if you don't think that you're dirty, then you're not going to wash. But for all of the sinners in that day that knew that they were sinners and desperately wanted the Messiah to come and save them, they sought to prepare themselves through this baptism of repentance. Now, John's preaching shined a great light upon the corruption in the people of God at that time. Now, is that easy to hear? No. I mean, do we like having our sin called out publicly? No. Would we rather just have God's messengers tell us what we want to hear and live in our blissful ignorance? Well, I pray that our answer to that question is also no. We need to regularly examine our own hearts. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. The light of God's word reveals to our hearts that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of eternal life is Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, if we don't believe that our sin leads to death, then we have been overcome by the lies of darkness. Jesus came to bring us the light of life because Jesus is life. He is the power of eternal life. Now, the light of his life keeps shining through his word preached, through his word read, through his word studied. And this is why we have Sunday school. Right, that we would continually be examining and letting that light shine into other parts of our lives so that we know it well. It's why we encourage all of our life groups to make sure that they're opening the Word of God together so that light continues shining into their lives. It's why we as families and as individuals need to be opening on a daily basis God's Word so His light continues shining into our lives and He turns our hearts from all the counterfeits of this world back to himself. The light of life keeps burning bright as we reorder our lives according to his word. And this is the only way that we're going to discover, thirdly, that Jesus is love. First, we learn that Jesus is Lord. Second, that Jesus is life. And lastly, that Jesus is love. Look at verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. Now we know that our sin blinds us to the truth, right? Jesus loves us enough to deal with our deepest problem. That's why he came. Now we all want love, but we have a much more difficult time giving love. We're happy to receive, much more difficult for us to give. And so we need to learn how our worldly nature turns us from actually knowing God and his love. And the Apostle Paul helps us with that because as he's trying to teach the Ephesian church about love, he says this in chapter 4. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. Now, John told us that though Jesus made the world did not know him. Why? Well, because apart from Christ, our minds are darkened, Paul says. We are naturally alienated, right, because we have rebellious hearts. We turn away from God. We don't want him to rule over us, right? We want to be God of our own lives. And so the hardness of those hearts, right, try to convince us, I am right and everybody else is wrong. And that is the heart of the fool that is being challenged here, and it gets challenged every time we open God's word, right? We are very susceptible to that because we're still sinners. Even if we have had the light in our lives, we can so easily be pulled back, and that was Paul's concern. And so he calls us to not walk as the Gentiles do, to not continue in that ignorance. And so he came not only to the world, and not only did the world reject him, but in verse 11, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. So he's not just rejected by the world who doesn't even know what he's here for, but the people that have been prepared for thousands of years with the prophets and the law given to us were still rejecting Jesus. The Jewish leaders were far more concerned that Jesus represented a threat to their power and to their popularity. They rejected John the Baptist. Herod actually had him executed. And sadly, that pattern continued in response to the Lord of glory. Verse 12 says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." This is one of those glorious contrasts in Scripture when he says, but God, right? God swoops in, the Holy Spirit comes in, and you see his work, recognizing that even when the vast majority of Israel was rebelling against God, God always preserved a remnant. Right? All of those who had heard the preaching of John the Baptist were saying, yes, we need to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Messiah. And they're turning away, right, from themselves and putting Christ, the coming Messiah, as their focus. Right? Their hearts are being prepared, and many of those disciples end up following after Jesus, their hearts having been prepared by repentance. And then the Savior came. He showed up. Love came down. Now, we don't deserve the Lord's presence, but he came. We don't deserve eternal life, but that's what he brought. We don't deserve his love, but he gave it immeasurably through adoption. Now, notice the unusual language of authority that John uses there when he says, to those who believe in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Just consider a regular adoption, right? You may know people who have adopted children. You may have adopted children. Most circumstances are unique to the child. Not every situation is the same. But I want you to imagine a couple who decided to adopt a very rebellious 14-year-old. If you've seen the movie The Ride, it's a movie, BMX rider, but it's a wonderful picture of this. It's a true story about a young man named John McCord, and he grew up in a very abusive home. And one day, his father was abusing his mother, and so he decided to stab his father. And so, to protect John from his father's retaliation, the mother and the brother lied to the police, and John went to juvie, right, to juvenile detention, because he stabbed his father. So they made it sound like he did something wrong rather than defend his mother. So he was there for 3 years, and he was brought out of detention by Eldridge and Mariana Bulgenz as their foster child. They chose someone who is in juvenile detention as their foster child. The authority of the state gave these parents the right to oversee him, and therefore they gave John the right to be set free from detention. Now, do you think that the moment that John crossed the threshold of their home that he just automatically obeyed all the house rules? Obviously not. Doesn't quite work that way. Didn't work for Israel that way either. He had to learn to trust them. And in a similar way, the Lord gave Israel thousands of years to prove that the Lord is trustworthy. Now, John McCord was finally adopted by the Bulgenz and took on their name. He became a BMX superstar and an actor. But he was not adopted because of his ethnic bloodline. He was Scottish, and he grew up as a white supremacist. His father, Eldridge, his adoptive father, was from Sri Lanka and had dark skin. The will of John's flesh was not to trust him, much less to love him as his father. But his heart was won over by the love of that Father. Our God could have merely saved sinners and made us citizens of a kingdom, but he didn't stop there. The love of God is displayed in the greatest of power and the most majestic glory by winning our hearts over by his love, so that those who receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, us rebellious creatures. Jesus is Lord, and he pursued you. Jesus, even though we were dead in our sins, made us alive because Jesus is life. You were rejected and alone and unloved, and he loved you and adopted you. He placed his name upon you and made you his own by faith. And when we talk about faith, it is not just acknowledging that God exists. It's not just agreeing that Jesus came to save sinners. It is actually when I transfer my trust from anything that I can do to make myself acceptable and put my complete trust in Jesus Christ alone. That is true saving faith. I must stop seeking life from all the world's counterfeits and seek life from Jesus in the way he designed me. I must stop looking for love in all the wrong places and trust that the love of Jesus is all I really need. Join us on this journey through the Gospel of John. Over these next number of weeks, I pray that we will discover the love that you have always wanted, the hope that you desperately need, and the glory that outshines every counterfeit that this world offers to us, so that every one of us from our hearts can sing that I will glory in my Redeemer who crushed the power of sin and death. My only Savior before the Holy Judge, the Lamb who is my righteousness. Amen. Father, as we look to you, you are the only one who knows our hearts perfectly. You know every single thing that we have done, not done, done wrongly, done rightly. You know it all, and yet you love us. Lord, we want to know that love in a more intimate and powerful way. And we don't just want to know it experientially. We want to see it multiplied as you share that love, even through crooked sinners like us, to bring it to a lost and dying world that is broken and alone and unloved. And we want them to know your love through us. Teach us, Lord, through this series, to love like Jesus. We ask it of you, not just for our good, but most of all, for your glory, we pray. Amen. Well, let us respond as we glory in our Redeemer together as we stand. Thank you. Hear now the benediction, the blessing of our Heavenly Father. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus with love incorruptible. Amen.